Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you wanna mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you wanna jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run. Yeah.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak. Well, today I wanted to talk about, actually about another podcast, about the Hear This Podcast Growling with Paul Dehner Jr. and Jay Morrison over at The Athletic. Excellent Bengals podcast. Obviously, your first listen should be Orange Back Insider and everything on our network, but those guys do a great job, obviously. And they've had a couple interviews recently, and they're kind of doing this whole segment where they are doubling up interviews, bringing up multiple coaches, multiple personnel staff from the Bengals, and kind of talking about relationships a little bit. And the way they introduced it was, talking about the culture and how this year has kind of shifted some people's ideas about culture, and about the fit of culture, and about, does the culture create winning, or does winning create culture, the whole chicken and the egg thing there. So I want to talk for a little bit about that, because I don't think it's quite that simple. Does culture create winning? Does winning create culture? I think winning is good. Right? That's what we all want to do, right? And winning reinforces behavior. And if you are winning despite having some bad habits, despite not having a great culture, like you're going to continue. There's no reason for you to change. And I can think of a few things. Like from my personal experience, I remember one time, I think it was my first year coaching, first year coaching Diva DeBacks, first year out of grad school. And we won a game against a bad team. And in the second half of the game, my Diva DeBacks, my secondary, played awful. And honestly, like, we won that game because the head coach was really smart and knew how to use the clock on offense and help us escape that game before it caught up with us, that we weren't playing very well in the secondary. And I remember after the game, my guys knew I was pissed, and I was like, hey, that wasn't it. And they're like, Coach, we won. I'm like, yeah, we're not going to win next week if that's how we play. And we didn't win next week. We played very, very poorly the following week. Because it's really hard to get people to change what they're doing if they've had success with what they're doing, all right? It's the old, hey, what got you here won't get you there, mindset. It's really hard for people to change, to improve, to work really hard at something when they have gotten the result they're looking for in the past without putting in nearly as much work. And that's what happened there. I was on them all week, and it didn't matter because they thought they were good. I actually tweeted that about the Bengals one time this year. I said the Bengals aren't good enough to start thinking they're good, and that's the problem that teams can have. You start thinking you're good, you don't put in the work you need to do. I'll give you another example. Would be the New England Patriots. The undefeated New England Patriots. I remember, I was coaching, and I hadn't really seen a lot of NFL at the time. That year, that's the thing people don't always understand about coaching, is that you're very, very busy with game planning on Sundays, and you don't know what's going on with the NFL all the time, especially in college coaching. So, at that time, I caught up on the NFL when my season was over. And I remember watching their Week 17 game against the New York Giants in a room full of Patriots fans, my in-laws and everybody. And I remember, at one point I just blurted out, oh my God, they're not very good. because it just occurred to me watching that game, I was like, they're not as good as they should be. They're not as good as their record implies. And I'm like, there was no way to predict that they'd see the Giants again in the Super Bowl. But I remember saying to somebody, I'm like, if they don't lose this game, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, they need to lose to figure out how to win. You know, kind of back to the Aerosmith lyric. You know, you get to lose to know how to win. But so good or bad, winning reinforces behavior. It is hard to change when you are having good results from what you are doing. It's hard to get other people to change when they're having good results from what they are doing. So, no culture, bad culture, all right? We see that when teams take shortcuts, you know, and that's the thing that Bengals are talking about. Like, they didn't take shortcuts, you know. Yeah, they're ahead of schedule, but they didn't take shortcuts. They didn't try and buy their team like a lot of people do. Cleveland. They didn't just go out there and try and, you know, sign a bunch of big names and stars and think they were going to throw it all together and it was going to work. All right, really, in sports, the sum needs to be more than the whole of the parts. You know, it's not always about having the absolute best players. It's about having the right players. You know, people who buy in, people who fit, people who work for what you're trying to do. You know, and that goes back, I watched Miracle recently. You know, I'm not looking for the best players, I'm looking for the right players. You know, that's what it comes down to. Now, can you have a success with a team like that? Absolutely. All right, but it's really difficult to sustain. And I mean, even over the course of a season, all right, but definitely over the course of multiple seasons, that can be hard to sustain, to keep going. So the fact is, you didn't earn it, right? You haven't been through those tough times. You haven't had those tough losses, that adversity to overcome as a unit. So you didn't really earn that success as a group. Right? Individuals, sure, right? Like, the individuals, obviously, every individual in the NFL has been through a lot, worked through a lot, and had to overcome a lot to get where they are. But as a group, you haven't overcome that, all right? So what happens when something goes wrong? Because you haven't faced that adversity together, right? Things go wrong. Balls slip through hands, right? The football bounces a funny way. Like, other balls aren't shaped like that for a reason, because it's really stupid the way it's shaped, right? It's meant to be thrown. It's not meant to hit the ground, because you don't know what's going to happen when it does. So what happens if Joe Burrow gets hurt? The Bengals, right, they're not going to fold if Joe Burrow goes down. Like, look, Joe Burrow's the man, right? And their top-end potential really is based on him. But they're not going to fold because a lot of those guys are on that, you know, we're through the trials and tribulations of the team that was struggling. You know, they're the team that beat the Steelers with Ryan Finley. Like, that's a big part of what they did the following year, having to win that game without Joe Burrow. You know, having to overcome that. You know, I go back a year before. I think the way they fought to beat the Miami Dolphins, even though they ended up losing, all right, but the way Tyler Boyd, you know, injured, getting to the line of scrimmage, you know, Tyler Eifert helping him up, getting up there, you know, even though people were out there saying, like, both teams should want to lose this game because it's going to set up for Joe Burrow. Well, the Bengals fought, you know, and that's why, like, it's not a real thing. You know, losing games on purpose, like in the NFL, it's not a real thing, because you can't live like that. You can't sustain like that. Now, apparently the Dolphins were trying to do that, and they just weren't very good at it, but that goes against culture, right? That goes against everything, right? And your career is so limited in the NFL that players aren't going to do that either. Like, those guys were fighting for that win, and that was a big part, and I think those two games are a big part of what developed the culture that came into this season and came into the Super Bowl run. It wasn't just Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. That certainly helped. Don't get me wrong. That certainly helped. But that's not all that it was about. Okay? So established culture, you know, is reinforced by winning. When you have a good culture, right? When, like we said, the Bengals have built those things, all right? Now, this past year should reinforce that, should make them say, hey, look, we've had success with this. We've been doing it. We weren't getting rewarded those first couple of years, but now we're fully bought in. You know, some of those people that were maybe 90% bought in on Zach Taylor, now they're 100% bought in because they know they can do it. All right. They've been there. They've seen it. They've been through it. All right. Now, there is, of course, a negative side where you get into what Pat Riley would refer to as the disease of me. All right. Where people start wanting more credit than they deserve for the success the team has had. So you definitely see that sort of thing as well. Having a strong culture, all right, where you know that things are, you know, where things are already built on, and the belief in the building is already that it's about the team and you know, it's about us, not me, that can help to ward those things off. But I think that's why you see a lot of times it is tough to sustain a franchise, tough to sustain a team and have them coming back year in and year out. But the reestablished culture, for the most part, right, it's going to be reinforced by winning. All right, hey, what we did worked. What we did can get us back there. We just got to take the next step and get the win and win that Super Bowl. Okay? So it's important to stay focused on culture and not allow people to stray from it. Not allow people to, you know, start buying their own hype, start buying their own media. It's actually kind of a positive that so many people are just like, ah, well, the Bengals were a one-year thing. Great. like fantastic. And pump that into the team's ears, because the more they hear that, the better. All right, that's exactly what they need to hear to keep them motivated, to keep them focused. All right, you know, buying their own press clippings is not a good thing. So thank you, media, for you know, not allowing that to happen. Now, culture takes time to develop. All right, and I mentioned games over a couple different years, and a couple years where the Bengals weren't very good, that I thought helped to develop that. I think it's really hard to see it as it's coming along, excuse me, and it's also, you know, while you're working on it, like, you're not getting those rewards, okay, so it's tough to maintain, and then there's so much that goes on in the NFL. And college football, especially Division I college football as well. So much with money, so much with pressure. We got to win, we got to win, we got to win right now, right? All in, you know, win now mode. That doesn't work, right? Like, maybe it works for a year. It doesn't work for you to build a culture. It doesn't work for you to win forever, right? And that's what the Bengals are trying to do. They're trying to win forever, all right? They're trying to build a dynasty. They're trying to win with Joe Burrow for 10, 15 years, not win one Super Bowl and be like, sweet, we got a ring. All right, nobody can say we didn't get a ring. They're trying to win forever. So Mike Brown deserves a ton of credit. Culture takes time to develop. All right, winning, an aspect of winning is that it provides you with time to develop that culture. All right, you got to have something. You got to win some games so you can put something behind that. Right, the Bengals under Zach Taylor first couple years were not good, right? Like, it wasn't good. Like, things were starting to turn around before Burrow got hurt a year ago. But, like, things weren't good. And Zach Taylor said it. He hit the nail right on the head. Like, most franchises wouldn't have kept him around. If the Bengals went out and got another coach, they would not have gone to the Super Bowl last year. It would have set them back. They could have gotten a very good coach, all right? And they might have gotten somebody who would have taken them to the Super Bowl eventually. That, you know, like, there's different paths. Okay, I'm not saying they, whoever they brought in was going to be worse than Zach Taylor. I'm saying all the work that they had done to build that culture over the last 2 years would have been wiped out, and they would have been starting back at ground zero, right? Having to build that thing up. So Mike Brown, excellent. Excellent job keeping Zach Taylor around, keeping that faith, being around. Because we forget, we complain about the Browns so much, but they don't have other businesses. They're a football family, right? They're around. They saw the things that we didn't see, partially because the media wasn't around, because of COVID and things like that. Things that we don't see anyway, because we're not in the building. We're, you know, even the media doesn't have access to everything. They saw those things. They believed. They stayed focused, and they stayed committed to Zach Taylor. Okay, Miami Dolphins, who I mentioned before, their owner is like not even in the state. Like, right, that dude's not around, so he has no idea what Brian Flores is doing. All the other good things that were that. May have been building there, right? No clue what's going on in that building. So good job, Mike Brown, Katie Blackburn, that whole family, staying focused, maintaining that belief, okay? Now, hitting the reset button there, again, would have been a huge mistake. It would have set them back. So I guess at the end of the day, look, winning is reinforcing to culture, and you will not be able to build a culture if you can't win enough games to stick around, win enough games to get people to believe in you, whether it be the people that keep you employed as a coach or the players, all right, who obviously need to believe in you because you are nothing as a coach if you don't have players who believe in you. But establishing that culture, instead of going win now, buy in players, hey, let's bring in Odell and Landry and all these types of guys, right? Yes, I am purposely mentioning things that the Browns did, right? That doesn't work, right? You need to establish a culture so that you're good all the time. Look, we talk about the Steelers. I've seen a lot of negativity about the Steelers. Look, the whole Cody Pickett, it's as good as Joe Burrow thing or whatever that was going around Twitter, right? Right, that's a joke, right? But here's the thing. He doesn't need to be great because they have a good culture, because they know how to win, all right, because they have those other things in place. So that idea and the tweet about, you know, hey, if they have a better coach and a better front office and all this stuff and Cody Pickett's just like Joe Burrow, then, you know, he should be better than Joe Burrow. Like, that's not the point. The point is, he doesn't have to be great because they have a lot of those things set up. And Joe Burrow, you know, by the same token, won't have to be as good as the culture continues to develop. They'll be able to win in other ways. They'll be able to find things, right? Now, obviously, Burrow is a very strong contributing factor in the culture of development as well. But, like, we just kind of get these things backwards sometimes, right? Like, that's not the point, all right? And it's not the point, hey, this guy's going to be better because he's here. Like, no. He doesn't need to be as good because he's there, because he has those sort of things, which really is what it's all about at the end of the day. And I'm going to touch on, you know, Lincoln Riley a little bit too. You know, Lincoln Riley, USC, like, I always thought that was kind of a, I was like, why is he going to USA? Why would he do that? You know, now they're going to the Big Ten, and I just look at that situation, I just think, look, Lincoln Riley came into a really good situation in Oklahoma, where Bob Stoops had it set up nicely. They had an established culture, they had an established tradition, and he wasn't starting from nothing, you know, and as a internal guy, you know, like, he was already around, he already knew how things worked there. He didn't have to sell that team on him. He didn't have to sell that team on his philosophy, on how he wants to do things. So at USA, it's going to be an uphill battle because they've got to build that culture, because they don't have that culture right now. Yeah, they have the tradition, but it's way back there, right? Like, you can't rely on Pete Carroll. You can't rely on Pete Carroll's legacy at this point. So he's going to have a really uphill battle because he's got to be able to fight that, you know, and establish that for himself. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, culture is a huge aspect of things. All right, it's what helps you survive when players get hurt, when things go poorly, which they always do at some point. You know, when you face adversity, that is what helps you to get there, and that is what helps you build something that lasts. Like we talk about with the Ravens, with the Steelers, you know, these are teams that have been good for a long time. They've had one coach for a long time. That is not a coincidence, right? You know, those guys have been around for a long time. They understand the culture. They've established a really good culture, right? And they do a really good job with that stuff. Both of those guys are guys that have been questioned because they have made some suspect decisions in terms of game management, things like that sometimes, right? But they understand how to build a team and how to establish a culture. And that's why those teams are good every single year. And that's why the Steelers with Cody Pickett, they're not going to be an ETO, right? I see people saying, oh, they're the worst team in the AFC North. I mean, maybe, but that doesn't mean they're not a 9-win team. You know what I mean? Like, my guess is they finish second or third. Honestly, I wouldn't, you know, I don't think they're going to finish last, because I don't think they're a team that finishes last. I think that's the way that thing's established. And, I'm not going to dig too deep into opponents, but the point is, all right, the culture the Bengals established is a huge aspect of everything that happened last year. Yes, the talent of Burrow and Chase is what propelled that success to happen so immediately. All right. And it'll be, you know, what will help to establish and help to, you know, maintain that culture will be that talent and the wins that came with that. But culture is a huge aspect of winning forever and of putting together and building the type of team that you want. And I'm looking forward to it. So thanks for joining me on this holiday weekend. Everybody, you know, drive safe, take care of yourselves, you know, and be excited, because this is not a one-hit wonder. This thing was being built to last. There were no shortcuts taken. They didn't hire a bunch of big-name free agents and try and buy a championship, all right? And they are not going, you know, win now crazy mode just because of Burrow's contract and everything. No, they're trying to build this thing for the long term. So be excited. Be excited for this year. Be excited for the next decade plus, hopefully, in Cincinnati. I'm Mike Minnick. Houday. Yeah, we coming forward with ours. Yeah, we coming forward with ours.